Jesus.
Mama,
Just to be in your presence just one more time. Shando Bosi. Shando Bosi. Just to hear your word, oh God. For Jesus, He is the living word. We thank you for being present with us tonight, God.
Thank you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. We magnify you and we exalt you on tonight.
Jesus.
We reverence Shando Bosia.
Yes.
Ooh, Shadarando Bosanda.
Yes.
We give you our undivided attention tonight. Shababa Bosanda. Speak to our heart tonight, Jesus. Shababa Bosa. Ooh, we come to commune with you, to sup with thee.
Yes.
Ooh, Shabbatando. Receive the sacrifice of our time as we give our body as a living sacrifice unto you on today, my God. It is our reasonable service to show up. Shaba. It is our reasonable service, God, Shabba. We thank you for the mind to give the reasonable service. Woo, that we give our bodies as a sacrifice. Woo, unto your word, unto you in prayer, my God. Woo, we bless your name tonight.
Thank you.
And we thank you for answering us by fire. We believe that the fire shall fall tonight. We give you glory, God. Ah. Ooh, we thank you for illuminating the eyes of our understanding. Oh, my God.
My Lord,
my God. Glory to your name, God. We give you glory. And we give you praise tonight. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Beloved, this is Cornerstone Deliverance Church. This is our 8 p.m. Bible study. We are located at 321. Post Avenue in Westbury, New York. We do have services Sunday, amen. 11 o'clock a.m. Sunday school, 12:30 worship service. We have a church meeting directly after. Be prepared for the church meeting, amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Our website is www.cornerstonedeliverancechurch.com. Amen. We ask that you peruse the website. There's a host of things up there to bless you. Amen. Released through CSDC by way of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And we invite you out to come and worship with us. Amen. We promise you, if you're looking for Jesus, you won't be disappointed. Amen. If you want Jesus, you won't be disappointed. If you want fellowship and worship with the apostles and the doctrine of Jesus Christ, you will not be disappointed. Amen. If you're looking for anything else, you might be disappointed. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Listen, I'm not afraid to say it. Hallelujah. Amen. We're going to give it to you straight. The kingdom got my back. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Beloved, tonight we are teaching, we are back in our pastors and our leaders, that study that we're doing. So far, if I'm not mistaken, there's three lessons that have been released. Some of those lessons have homework assignments. I expect to get those homework assignments. Those of you that have not handed in your homework assignment, you can do so on Sunday or you can email it. Amen. And we will be assigning someone to take those homework assignments in the near future. Amen.
Amen.
So this way I don't get caught up and forget. Beloved, I believe we stopped on where we were speaking pertaining to the correct reproof and rebuke the flock. Amen. We're going to start with 2 Timothy 4:2, where it says, reprove and rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. 1 Timothy 5:20 says, them that sin rebuke before all that others also may fear. So when we look at the Word of God, the Word of God tells us that the Holy Scriptures is good for instruction in righteousness that is good for reprove and rebuke. Amen. And that reprove and rebuke is correction. Amen. And Amen. So the reprove and rebuke is correction to exhort with long suffering. Amen. And we have to remember here that there's times when the word of God directs us to rebuke publicly. So sometimes people may feel that a public rebuke is harsh. Why did he or she, being the leader, do it that way? Amen. And sometimes we are not aware of how many times the Holy Spirit has already convicted the person, and the person did not heed the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we're not aware of the warning of that which came from the shepherd, amen, or the shepherd's son, and the person did not heed. I say this to say that I had corrected someone before, and even after the correction, they, you know, when someone has tunnel vision for what they want to do, when they're in their flesh and they want to do what they want to do, we learn that the word of God says that a carnal mind cannot be subject to or submit to or obey the will of God or the law of God. And so when you're dealing with people whose mind have not been spiritualized, amen, they will have tunnel vision for the things of the flesh. You know, so some people are not, they're not remorseful until they've been exposed. Unfortunately, some of us, the Holy Spirit convict us and we are remorseful right away and want to repent. Some people are not really sorry. They just sorry they got exposed. You know, they're not remorseful, but they sorry that they got exposed. Amen?
Amen.
And so we have to be mindful of what Spirit is working. We have to be mindful. A great example was Judas. Amen. Him that betrayed Jesus. Amen. For 30 pieces of silver. Hallelujah. His remorse and his repentance for whatever plan he had for Jesus to overthrow the Roman government, his remorse was more to the exposure, you know, because what he thought was going to happen did not happen. And so he was remorseful and repented, the word of God said, but he was also tormented and took his own life, committed suicide. And I want y'all to see what goes on with that. And this is our recording, so I'm going to mention Pastor John Gray tonight. Amen. Whatever took place in his situation with his marriage and the infidelity, at the exposure of him, of his infidelity, when the cover was pulled off, amen, the word was that he was suicidal. Amen, or had suicidal thoughts, and that goes in a line with Judas' situation, you know, because the Holy Spirit convicts you. Something does not go on for years and years and years and years, and there's no conviction. No, the Holy Spirit will convict you, and he convicts you quick, amen, but if you don't heed that warning, then the warning will come in other ways until the time where he pulled the cover off. So as I spoke to Bishop about this, and we looked at some of the things that was brought to light concerning it. As leaders, we got to get it together, because I don't believe that he was remorseful because he sinned. I believe that his remorse came from him getting caught. Amen?
Amen.
Based on the things that was released. And so we want to be mindful. We want to have a repentant heart, amen, at the conviction of the Holy Ghost. And the word of God says here that the word is good for rebuke and open rebuke. Amen. This Amen. Is the authority that God has given to his leaders. So if for some reason you are openly rebuked, and 9 times out of 10, I don't believe that a leader will openly rebuke you if they have not come to you in private first. Amen. If they Amen. Not have themselves come to you. Amen. And with me, there's nothing that I'm not going to say at any time that I can't say to you in your face. You know, I'm not a phone gangster, nothing like that, or, you know, or in a letter. Amen. I'm strong face to face. And when I say gangster, I just use that as, you know, the type of strong authority, because Apostle Paul even said that I'm speaking strongly here, but I'm going to speak strongly to you when I get there. Amen. When it comes down to righteousness and unrighteousness, I'm going to speak strongly to you about it. I'm not going to mix no words, and I'm going to say what I need to say, whether you was my mother, my sister, amen, or my brother, or my husband, amen, because God don't mince no words with me when he's checking me. Hallelujah. And
amen.
Hallelujah. I just had an instance where I had to check something, amen, with one of my family members, and they didn't like it. You know, I was quick to say that ain't Jesus, and that tongue ain't the Holy Ghost. Amen. And I don't have a problem. I don't care who you are, but I'm going to tell you the truth, that the truth may make you free. Amen.
Amen.
That you will be free of self-deception and the bondage of the enemy. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Because sometimes when you're speaking, you're not speaking to your loved one, but you're speaking to demonic spirits. Amen. And so if you cannot discern past the self-pity and the things that are going on, you know, to get down to the root of the issue, hallelujah, that people can be made free. And this is how we do it, amen, at CSVC. We're going to do it by way of the Spirit, and we want you to see the authority that has been given to us by God in the Word of God, amen. And we want you to know that God, those that God chastise, or those that the Word instructs, those that the Word rebuke, those that the Word correct, is the love of God. Amen. Have you seen in the scripture that the chastisement of God is the love of God, that he chastises those who he loves? Amen. The Word of God tells us this. But the Word of God also tells us that he will not chastise or correct a bastard. And a bastard is one that is not his son. Amen. So if I'm checking you, if I'm correcting you, you know where we stand. The moment that I stop and I leave you to yourself, amen, I'm not going to take my authority to pass what God does, because my authority is an extended authority from him. So if he's not going to chastise a bastard, neither will I. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Because the bastard is not going to heed the instruction of God. Amen. A bastard is not a son. A bastard does not belong to him. And there's many times when we would do teachings on children, sons, and bastards, that you would know the difference. Amen. Unto us a child was born, and unto us a son was given. Jesus was born as a child under the tutelage of Mary and his father, Joseph. Amen. And hallelujah. And when he grew and was matured spiritually, because the Word of God said Jesus grew, amen, in wisdom and in knowledge. And, you know, so as he grew, we must grow, because when we're born of the Spirit, we're children. And I keep reiterating this, we're children when we're born of the Spirit, first born of the Spirit. And so we, too, are under the tutelage of the fivefold ministry, our shepherds, the apostle, pastor, prophet, teacher, evangelist, what God has set in place to be able to equip the saints for the work of the ministry till they mature and come in unity. That's what the Word of God says. And so we want to mature you through the teaching of the Word, that your mind will get spiritualized. Amen? And so when you're first born, you're a child, you're having tantrums. Amen. Even if you're 15, you're just born of the Spirit. You're a child. Amen. Anything just born is not full grown. Nothing is born full grown. And so you have tantrums. You want to know why. You ask a whole bunch of questions. These are the things that children do. So if this is your character or your behavior, if you have a lot of undertones, which a lot of people won't even express or say, but I listen to undertones. Amen. Sometimes God will reveal to me the thoughts in your heart. I hear things at times, and I look around and I say, did anybody hear that? Did anybody else hear that but me? Beloved, you have to be mindful. Even the thoughts of your heart should be right. Amen? Because even if God don't reveal it to me, he hears. For his word judges the very thoughts and the intent and the attitude. Amen?
Amen.
God weighs the motive. Hallelujah. And so we want to be right, not just by what we expressing, but by what's not being expressed. We want that to be right. What's working on the inside, the meditations on the inside. We want that to be right. Amen. We want that to be holy. We want that to be aligned with God and what it is that he would have for us to do. So a son is able to handle assignments and complete assignments well. Amen. And a son mindset is for the better good of the working of the church. Amen. And so a son is not going to come at the shepherd in a certain way that's abrasive in front of the sheep, because you don't want the sheep to believe that this is the way you deal with your shepherd, that there's an honor, there's an awe, there's a respect. Even if we disagree for the sake of the sheep not being scattered, we will deal with things in a manner if you are spiritual and mature. Amen? And so I pay attention to how people come to me, how they share their differences with me, if there's an aggression. I pay the undertone, you know, the things that just the little sounds. Amen? I pay attention to all of that because these things are important. Amen?
Amen.
And so, beloved, we want to be mindful of these things. So I want you to know that correction will come. 1 Thessalonians 5:14 says, now we exhort you, brethren, warn them that are unruly. Amen. And so there's going to be order in the church. Amen. You can't do your own thing, and you're not going to be unruly with your conversation, your behavior, or your dress. Sometimes your dress code could be unruly. Amen. Hallelujah. It could be a stumbling block to someone else. And so we want to be mindful. Amen. The ministry is commissioned of God to be the voice of correction and reproof to the church. Amen. And it says that the ministry does this. Amen. On rare occasions, the ministry may find it necessary to rebuke an unrepentant brother or sister publicly before all. And I love here that this says that it's on a rare occasion. Hallelujah, because we are the body of Christ. And so I love that it says a rare occasion, and it says an unrepentant brother. Amen. So someone that has continued on in the same sin, that has been unrepentant. And so you may be thinking, well, Apostle, I repented of this thing, and I repented of it twice, even three times. And so why did I get rebuked publicly? And that's because true repentance is a turning away from a situation and not being entangled with the bondage again. That's true repentance. Amen. True repentance brings about change. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we want you to know that if you truly repent, it is, you know, a Lord, forgive me. Amen. It's a verbal thing. It's a heart thing. And it's a change in activity, conversation, behavior. Amen. It's a change. Public rebuke is unpleasant, but it certainly occurred in the first church. Amen. Let us turn to Acts 5:1-5. I believe that's why we stopped here, because we wanted to go through these scriptures. I want you all to see them for yourself. First one to get it can read it. Acts 5:1-5. We have our Bibles tonight. You got your smartphones, whatever you have, use them.
Acts 5:1-5. But a certain man named Ananias and Sapphira, his wife, sold a possession and kept back part of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. But Peter said, Ananias, why hath Satan filled thine heart to lie to the Holy Ghost and to keep back part of the price of the land? Whilst it remained, was it not thy own? And after it was sold, was it not in thy own power? Why hast thou conceived this thing in thy heart, that thou hast lied unto men, has not lied unto men, but unto God? And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost, and great fear came on all of them that heard these things.
I want you to continue to read the rest of that.
And the young men arose, wound him up, and carried him out and buried him. And it was about the space of 3 hours after, when his wife, not knowing what was done, came in. And Peter answered unto her, tell me whether ye sold the land for so much. And she said, yeah, for so much. Then Peter said unto her, how is it that you agreed together to tempt the Spirit of the Lord? Behold, the feet of them which have buried thy husband are at the door, shall carry thee out. Then she fell straightway at his feet and yielded up the ghost. And a young man came in and found her dead, and carrying her forth, buried her by her husband. And a great fear came upon all the church and upon as many as heard these things. And by the hands of the apostles were many signs and wonders wrought among the people. And they were all with one accord in Solomon's porch. And the rest...
Amen. I want you to stop right there. Amen. Beloved,
Amen.
This scripture text concerning Ananias and Sapphira, and I'm hearing it as you hear it. Amen. Ananias, this right here was during a time when God was doing great miracles by the hands of the apostles and the preach and the teach. And the people, the word of God says that they were selling their homes and giving all that they had and laid it at the feet of the apostles. So in these days, they were selling their homes and whatever they sold their homes for, they was giving that money to the church. Amen. This is how much they honored the work of Jesus Christ in these days. Hallelujah. Today, we skimping on our tithes and our offerings and our seeds and our first fruits. These people were selling houses. Amen. You know what you get for a house. And they was laying it at the apostles' feet for the work of the ministry. The word of God said in prior scriptures that they gave to those that was in lack amongst them, that no one would be in lack. Amen. So that means that the church took care of his own. Amen.
Amen.
So, beloved, I want you to pay attention to what the Holy Spirit is saying here. That Ananias and Sapphira, they sold a piece of they sold a piece of land, they sold a property. And they said, like everyone else said, that we're going to, verse 2, that we and kept part back of the price, his wife also being privy to it, and brought a certain part and laid it at the apostles' feet. If nothing else don't tell you better than this scripture, that your tithes belong to God, your offering belongs to God. He said it in Malachi 3. Whatever it is that God is moving upon your heart to do, amen. So when you're giving to the work of Jesus Christ, you're not giving to the man and woman of God. You're giving to God, amen. And so because they schemed within themselves, amongst the two of them, and said that they're going to sell their house and hold a part back for themselves. In those days, because they were selling their properties and giving it to the apostles, do you know that God could have for your property to sell for even more than what it's worth? Can you believe that? Just like he canceled my debt. God can do whatever. When you begin to be a blessing to the work of Jesus Christ, he gives seed to the sower. Hallelujah. And so instead of giving all like they vowed that they would do, the property sold for so much that they decided that they was going to hold something back for themselves. Now, this was not scheming against Peter. This was not scheming against Paul. This was scheming against God himself. And so when Peter spoke to them, Peter said, why do you lie to the Holy Ghost? Why do you lie? He didn't say, why you lie to me? Because the gift that you're bringing, you bring into God. So he says, why do you lie to the Holy Ghost? And they lied and they just continued on in their lies. Beloved, listen, we have to pay close attention to the scriptures because I believe that God has been quite merciful. Amen. Most people don't even give the full tenth. Amen. But if God chose to, he could kill you dead like he did Ananias and Sapphira. When you lie and saying that I gave my tithe, then you know that you didn't give the full tenth. Amen. And you give your tithe off of your growth and not your net. Amen. You listen, your taxes come off your growth, your Social Security coming off your growth, your tithe come off your growth. Hallelujah. And those of you that are not tithing, you don't even begin to give an offering until you give your tithe. Because the word of God says, hallelujah, that those of you that are tithing and you miss your tithe, that he adds interest onto that when you're late. He's telling you how serious he is about you giving your tenth. But, and so do we lie to God like we do Ananias, like Ananias and Sapphira did? Do you lie and say that I've given my tithe, but you have not given your tithe? Amen? Don't think that God don't know. Don't allow God to begin to expose, amen, the very thing. We know that when people come into the work, all your giving is done by faith. Amen? You can't do nothing for God that is not by faith and please him. And so if you are not tithing by faith, amen, it's not going to be honorable to him. You have to give by faith. And so when new people come into the work of Christ, what we realize is that sometimes they don't have the faith to give. So faith comes by the hearing and by the hearing of the word. So that's why we preach and teach on these things, that they, as they hear it, amen, that the word will give them faith to be able to obey the word. Amen. And those of you, amen, that know the truth and don't do it, the word of God says that you shall be beaten with many stripes. So here we have a husband and wife that is in agreement. And you see, they just lied to the end. There was a lying spirit. It was a lying spirit. Hallelujah. But God knows all things. He knows all things. And after he gave the husband the chance to tell the truth, isn't that just like God? To give you a chance to get it right. Amen. And Ananias, hearing these words, fell down and gave up the ghost. God took his breath back. He took his breath back, just snatched his breath right back. He gave up the ghost. The spirit, the breath of God is what gives you life. He just snatched his breath back from Ananias. And here comes his wife with the chance to tell the truth. But she's steadfast in her lie. Amen. That's a lying spirit. Mm-hmm. And we ought not to be moving by that. Amen? And we ought not to think, well, they don't know because they don't know how much I made. But God knows. God knows whether you're tithing fully. He knows whether you're seeding fully. He knows whether you're giving an offering. He knows. Amen? Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. And today you have churches that they want to be accountable and with you being a member. Amen, because members, for the most part, support the work of the ministry, and they're asking for your W-2s now. And so I was asked, is it all right, Apostle, that the church asks for your W-2s? I said, well, they're accountable for you, and they're telling you, and they're saying that you paid your tithe according to the letters that they're giving you, and how would they know whether it was a tenth or not if they don't know what you made? So I share with her, that's not our practice at CSDC. God hadn't led me to do that, but I understand that it is a thing of accountability. Why should the man or the woman of God guess? Amen? Why should he guess at whether it's your tithe or not? And I know the line, I can hear a pin drop right now, but I cannot be accountable unto God on whether you paid the tenth or not or gave your tithe or not. Amen? Because I don't know what your tenth is. Hallelujah, Jesus. So we believe that by faith, amen, that you are doing what it is that you're supposed to do. And those of you that are not, Amen. Listen, take heed to the scripture. Take heed to the scripture. Because you are responsible for that which you know. And the word of God says that those that know the truth and don't do it shall be beaten with many stripes. This is the word of God. You ain't fooling a woman and a man of God. You fooling yourself. Because he even said that on those last days, I'll say you workers of iniquity. Amen? Part from me. I know you're not. That's the word of God. Hallelujah. And he's an all-knowing God. We learned that, beloved. So I want you to take heed to the scriptures because the Holy Scriptures is dealing with all of that. Anything that you need to know, any answer that you need is in the word of God. Before we move forward, and that husband and wife was in scheme together. That's why when anything is going on with me and Bishop, I confront things. Bishop confront things. Amen. A husband ought to confront his wife and a wife ought to confront her husband. Hallelujah. If you are not in agreement with anything that is working that is not right, here Ananias and Sapphira were so in agreement with it that to the man of God's face, they lied. And when he said to the Holy Ghost, you'd have thought that they would have had a fear of God. Why do you lie to the Holy Ghost, he said. Amen. Do we really fear God? Do we really reverence him and awe him the way we supposed to? If we did, we wouldn't say that we give in the tenth and don't. If we did, amen, because that's a lying spirit. That's a lying spirit. I'm going to call it what it is. That's a lying spirit, amen? Beloved, amen. You've been notified, amen? Titus 1:13 says, this saying is true, therefore rebuke them sharply, so that they will be sound in faith. Did not Peter rebuke Ananias and Sapphira sharply?
Amen.
Did he not confront them to their faith? There was no he say, she say, they said, or Peter said that you sold your house and you didn't give all the money. It was no roundabout going about anything. Amen. He confronted them to their faith, gave them the word of God, and God did whatever he did. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So, beloved, we're going to move on to the next scripture. That next scripture is 1 Corinthians 5:12-13. 1 Corinthians, the first one to get it can read it. Do anybody have any questions so far?
No.
Amen.
First Corinthians 5:12-13. But what have I to do to judge them also that are without? Do not ye judge them that are within, but them that are without. Judge, but them that are without, God judges. Therefore, put away from among yourselves that wicked person.
Amen. So what he's saying here is, what business is it of mine to judge those outside the church? You know, God ain't correcting a bastard. I'm not correcting a bastard. Amen. You know, what business is it of mine to judge those outside of the church? The word of God already gave that judgment. The judgment is eternal damnation. That's the judgment. Are you not to judge those inside? God will judge those outside. Expel the wicked person from amongst you. So for all the saints that's running around talking about why you judging me, what does the scripture say here? That don't worry about those outside of the church. Worry about those inside of the church. Deal with their sin. And those that are operating in wickedness amongst you, expel them. Does it not say that?
Amen.
So don't run around talking about, are you judging me? Don't judge me. Listen, now that right there too, we got to be mindful of that. Because if the word of God says that if we judge ourselves to the word of God, if we measure ourselves to the word of God, if you see that you're not aligned or in agreement and with the word of God concerning to your conversation, your behavior, or the life that you live, if your heart ain't right, if you're not aligned with the word of God, he says that if you judge yourself, you would not have to be judged. Amen. But here in 1 Corinthians, Apostle Paul is laying it down for them, because I'm sure they had that same spirit about who are you to tell me and why are you judging me?
Mm-hmm.
Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. So now we done did away with that. I guess we won't be hearing that at CSDC. 2 Corinthians 13:2 says what? And when we judge, we're not judging by our own eyes. We're going to go to Isaiah 11. Amen. When you judge, because the word of God tells us to be careful how you judge, because the same measure in which you judge, you too will be. You know, so you want to be mindful. Amen. When you see something and you're dealing with something, you want to be mindful how you deal with it. Amen. Hallelujah. And we want to be able to judge through the eyes of the Spirit. Amen. Hallelujah. Because God is merciful. He's very merciful. And if we had to do things like when David laid with, when he laid with Uriah's wife Bathsheba. Amen. And the prophet came unto David and gave David a little parable. Let's pull that up when Nathan says to David, he says to David, thou art the man. And we're going to go back to this, because even though we see here the correction is coming, rebuke is coming, don't run around saying don't judge me. You know, we hear all of that, but still there is a manner in which these things ought to be done. Amen?
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So we're going to go to 2 Samuel 12. I just shifted for a minute, and then we're going to get back to this because I want you to see this. In the measure in which you judge, says the word of God, you shall be judged. Let me pull up that scripture. I served on jury duty, and I was very mindful. I was trying to get off the case because I didn't want that pressure on me. Amen?
Amen.
I didn't want to deal with that. I did not want to deal with that.
Amen, amen.
And I was very careful. I was very careful, even though they brought in things from the person past. I was very careful because the judge said that you're gonna hear a lot of things about this person, but the only thing that you're considering is the acts that just took place, you know, for this case. And so all of that stuff was brought in to assassinate the person's character. And when everybody else wanted to run with it, I tell them, not me. I can't be party to that. We're going to stay here. We'll be right here. Amen?
Amen.
I don't care if they commingle funds. I don't care if they took people money in the past. We are here for this specific thing, and this is the only thing that I am judging on. Amen?
Amen.
Now, they could have been guilty of all those things in the past, but if they're guilty of this, they walking up out of here. Amen?
Amen.
Be mindful, because sometimes we'll bring up the past. Well, this, you did this and you did that. No. Listen, stay focused. Matthew 7:2 says, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. That's Matthew 7:2. Did you get that? Being a judge ain't easy. Amen?
Amen.
Being a judge, Samuel, Deborah, being a judge ain't easy. Amen. Ehu, being a judge is not easy. If Matthew 7:2 says, for in the same way you judge others, you will be judged, and with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. Be merciful. Be forgiving. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. So now we go on to 2 Samuel 12. 2 Samuel 12, can someone read it?
The first one, the first verse?
Yes, ma'am. Yes.
And the Lord sent Nathan unto David, and he came unto him and said unto him, there were two men in one city, the one rich and the other poor. The rich man had exceeding many flocks and herds, but the poor man had nothing, save one little ewe lamb, which he had bought and nourished up, and it grew up together with him and with his children. It did eat of his own meat and drank of his own cup and lay in the bosom and was unto him as her daughter. And there came a traveler unto the rich man, and he spared to take of his own flock and of his own herd to dress for the wayfaring man that was come unto him, but took the poor man's lamb and dressed it for the man that was come to him. And David's anger was greatly kindled against the man, and he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that hath done this thing shall surely die, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold because he did this thing and because he had no pity." And Nathan said to David, "Thou art the man." Thus saith the
Thou
Lord.
Thou art the what?
The man.
Thou art the man, David. Thou art the man. You are the man. You see how the prophet came to the king? The prophet did not come to the king up in the king's face the way some of these people approach the pastors and they leaders. The prophet came to the king with wisdom. When God give you a word of knowledge, and that's what this was a word of knowledge. God put the prophet in the king's business. That's a word. This is something that has already taken place. It's not prophecy. Amen. So when God put Nathan and David business, it wasn't foretelling something to come. This was something that already took place. Anything that's about the past or the present or illness that someone have, and God revealed these things to you, I want you to know the difference in the nine gifts of the Spirit that you find in 1 Corinthians 12. That's the word of knowledge. Amen. And so Nathan came to him humble, giving the king a story, a parable. Amen. You know, seeing what kind of compassion the king would have towards someone that done this. And then David's anger was greatly kindled against the man. And he said to Nathan, "As the Lord liveth, the man that have done this thing shall surely die." And Nathan said, and he shall restore the lamb fourfold. And Nathan said, "David, thou art the man."
Amen.
It's you. You took Uriah's wife. And then you put him on the front line. You are him. You know, so when you hear that thou art the man, that ain't people on the street think that that's a good thing. In the word of God, Nathan said that to David, and it was nothing good about that. Ain't nothing new up under the sun. They didn't create that, you the man. They didn't create that. That's biblical. David, thou art the man. Did you get that?
Amen.
Thus saith the Lord God of Israel, I anointed thee king over Israel, and I delivered thee out of the hand of Saul, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom, and gave thee the house of Israel and of Judah. God is saying, I gave you all of this, David, and if that had been too little, I would moreover have given unto thee, unto thee such and such things. Wherefore, hold on, I got to get to this thing. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord? This wasn't about him going against Uriah. Listen, the law of God is that you don't touch another man's wife. David, you didn't only have wives. You had concubines. You had all kinds of stuff, David. Amen?
Amen.
Come on now. And you want the other man's wife too? We got to be mindful of wanting something that's not ours. You ain't coming up against that man or that woman. You coming up against God.
Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And you say you spiritual. Lusting and carrying on. You better stop it. Jesus said that if you do it in your heart and have not even acted on it, that it is already a sin.
Amen.
I can show you that in the word of God.
Amen.
He says, and I gave thee thy master's house and thy master's wives into thy bosom and gave thee, amen, we're going to go to 9. Wherefore hast thou despised the commandment of the Lord to do evil in his sight? Thou hast killed Uriah the Hittite with the sword and hast taken his wife. to be thy wife, and hast slain him with the sword of the children of Ammon. So that means that even though David, it wasn't David's sword that killed him, David set him up.
Amen.
David plotted, and God said that David is the murderer. Did y'all get that?
Amen.
Now, therefore, this war shall never depart from thine house. This is why David had all those problems. This is why his son started sleeping with the wife, and then the son raped the daughter. It was just so much stuff going on in David's house. His son tried to take his kingdom because God said this war, that was the judgment for David. Amen. Now, therefore, this war shall never depart from thine house. Because thou hast despised me and hast taken the wife of Uriah the Hittite to be thy wife. That's why David had mercy on his kids when they was beginning to act up, even when his son came up against him and wanted to take the kingdom, because David knew that the sword is to end with him. David knew it, that it was because of David's sin that this stuff was going on in his house. Did y'all get that?
Amen.
Yeah. Man.
So David didn't act like it wasn't because of him. David knew that his kids was acting up the way they did. Amen. These things was, that's why he had so much mercy. Amen. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will raise up evil against thee out of thine own house. Do you hear that? And I will take thy wives before thine eyes and give them unto thy neighbor. And he shall lie with thy wives in the sight of this son. For thou didst it secretly, but I will do this thing before all Israel and before the son. That's what happened when his son slept with his wife. Did that not happen?
Mm-hmm.
And David said unto Nathan, I have sinned against the Lord. Okay, ain't no sense in hiding it, like Ananias and Sapphira. See, David did wrong, but David was a repentant man.
Amen.
He didn't say, who are you to come to me and tell me something about something I did? You lying. I didn't do that. I didn't sleep with her. I didn't send her in battle. Yes, David did wrong, but David had a heart of repentance. He says, immediately as it was brought to his attention, David said, I have sinned against the Lord. And Nathan said unto David, the Lord also hath put away thy sin. Thou shalt not die. The mercy of God. Even though David said that the man should not die, God said that David will not die. Howbeit, because by this deed thou hast given great occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born unto thee shall surely die. So God spared David life, but the first child that should have been born to him and Bathsheba died.
Mm-hmm.
And David fasted and put on sackcloth and ashes and prayed for that child. Amen. Until God took his breath. Until God took that child breath. Amen. Beloved, let us be mindful. Let us be mindful. Amen. We got to be mindful of how we judge, what we do. The same measure. You see how merciful God was? He took a life, but it wasn't David's life. But I can't even imagine you taking the life of my child and sparing mine. Oh, the heartache and the pain. The heartache and the pain. Amen?
Amen.
So we want to be mindful of what we do, how we judge. This is a great responsibility. Amen. Listen, you need the Spirit of God, and you need to be able to do it as God says that it should be done. Amen?
Amen.
2 Corinthians 13:2, is that what we was looking at? I already gave you a warning when I was with you the second time. I now repeat it while absent. Oh, on my return, I will not spare those who sinned earlier or any of the others. Amen? And so let me see what this right here is about. This is 2 Corinthians. This is a final warning. I believe that God gives many warnings to his people. Amen? And I believe that there's a final warning that God do give before his judgment comes. Beloved, judgment is coming. This is why the church got to get it right. We got to get it in order, because the word of God tells us that judgment comes to the house of God first. Judgment is coming. All of those that say, you ain't going to judge me, listen, you will want to hear it from me now. that you can repent and get it right. Because when that judgment comes, I don't know if there's any more time for you to get right. Hallelujah. Hear it from the prophets that he sent now. Feed the word of God now. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So this time when God will give you a final warning. Is there another scripture that we asked for? So far in this, because we went so far, we got into so much. Amen. And it is part of the responsibility of God's ordained ministers. Amen. Public rebuke is unpleasant. Amen. But it certainly occurred in the first church. But it is part of the minister's job, the ordained minister's job to do this. Amen. Who wants the job? I didn't ask for the job. Hallelujah. I tried to run from the job and I cried. Hallelujah, Jesus. Because who wants that job? It's enough being responsible for yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Amen. So you don't want the blood of others on your hand because you didn't rebuke them. Oh, if you would have rebuked them, they could have repented and been saved. Amen. But you did not rebuke them. Amen. So, beloved, we really want to obey God when it comes down to this. These things are hard. They're not easy things to do. Amen. But we're talking about the saving of your soul. You're talking about you're talking about your very eternal life is at stake. We're going to go to Isaiah 11 really quick. Amen. Is it already 9 o'clock? We're going to go to Isaiah 11 really quick so that do anybody have any questions so far?
Mm-mm.
So we understand that being in that place where you are discerning and where you are teaching for the maturation of the church that is immature, that have not yet maturated, or you as a leader, that being able to judge in that manner, amen, is a lot of responsibility. And the scriptures tells us how that responsibility ought to be carried out.
Amen.
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 Hallelujah. Let's go to Isaiah 11 really quick. I want you to see how you ought to judge if God is telling you something. I want you to know that you should be mindful. I love that scripture that before you could take the boulder out of your eye first. I love that. 9 times out of 10 when God is showing me something concerning someone, he deals with me first. And it makes me compassionate. Amen?
Amen.
It makes me compassionate with dealing with others. Amen. And so we want to be mindful. Now, if you hadn't been through anything, sometimes, you know, you can be a little harsh, you know, when it comes down to certain things. Luke 6:42, how can you say to your brother, brother, let me take the speck out of your eye, when you yourself fail to see the plank in your own eye? You hypocrite. First take the plank out of your eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. You know, so whenever it's something that you see about someone else, you first have to consider yourself. When the word of God comes to me that I may give it to you, amen, that word deals with me first. It's a double-edged sword. It's cutting those that's delivering it as well as those that's receiving it. I don't care how you slice it, everybody's getting cut by that word. Amen?
Amen.
No one gets away from it. It says it is sharper than a double-edged sword. Amen? Sharper than. So everybody's getting cut. The one is delivering it. Amen? So there's times when God gives me a word, I'm in here boo-hooing and getting what I need first. By the time I done gave it to you, I'm delivered and free and coming forth by fire. But first the word had to cut me and deal with me. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You got to get in the presence of God to deal with the people of God. Amen?
Amen.
Amen, beloved. Okay, so now we're going to move on to Isaiah 11. I'm going to ask that someone read. I want you all to hear what the Spirit is saying.
And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse. From verse 1?
Yes.
And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. And the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge and of the fear of the Lord, and shall make him of quick understanding in the fear of the Lord, and he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears, but with righteousness shall he judge the poor, and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. And righteousness shall be the girdle of his loins, and faithfulness the girdle of his reins.
Reins. Woman of God, I want you to stop right there. Y'all can read the rest of Isaiah 11 on your own in your own time. I love the scripture text. This is one of my favorite scriptures. This is how I knew the provision of the Holy Ghost in me. This is how I knew it. God taught me here. He kept me here in this scripture, the seven spirits or the seven eyes of God. Amen. And it says, and there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his root. Jesse is the father of David. That rod and that branch that shall grow out of his roots, that branch is Jesus. Amen. Because remember, he's coming as king. Amen. He's coming as king and as priest. Hallelujah. David had to be his father. Amen. So instead of just saying David was his father so that they cannot say another David, it went back to David, father Jesse. So it had to be King David. Amen. And it says, and the Spirit of the Lord shall rest upon him, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. The Word of God always tells us that whatever it is that God is doing, he's not doing by your might or by your power, but he's doing by way of his Spirit. Amen. So these are the, listen, I believe it's the Holy Spirit with all of his attributes. When the Holy Spirit comes, he comes with all of this. So it says, and there is the Spirit of the Lord. That's one spirit. The Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel and might, the Spirit of knowledge, and the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. You cannot reverence God on your own with your own understanding. You got to get with the Spirit of the fear of the Lord. If I need to counsel you, amen, I'm not sitting here trying to counsel you out of my own experience, because my experience may not be good for your experience in the moment. I need to get with the Spirit of counsel. Amen. Hallelujah. That I may get something from the Spirit that I may give to you to speak right now into your right now situation and circumstance. Amen. Did you get that?
Amen.
If I feel weak, I need to tap into the Spirit of might. Hallelujah. Because the Spirit of might is going to strengthen me. Wisdom comes through that Spirit of wisdom and understanding. For the Word of God says, get in all thy getting, get wisdom, but in all thy getting, get an understanding. Isn't that what the Word of God says? So I see here that that Spirit and Spirit of wisdom and understanding. If you lack wisdom, the wisdom that you need is in the Holy Ghost. Amen. Listen, he inspired the Holy Scriptures. This is the mind of God, amen? And his word is spirit and life, amen? Start there. Some of you want to go so deep. I need a supernatural divine experience. I want God to show me something divine, but you don't even read the Bible. There is your supernatural divine experience. Open up the book. Hallelujah, Jesus. And it speaks here, amen, pertaining to, amen, the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of wisdom and understanding, the Spirit of counsel, amen, the Spirit of knowledge. Hallelujah. Everything that you need, you got. But if you would just stir up the gift that's inside of you, hallelujah, Jesus, stir them up. And even if you dream or you get an open vision, amen, you need to measure it to the Word of God to make sure that it came from the authentic Spirit of God. Hallelujah. Because the Word of God says, let the prophet speak in two or three, and then let the others judge the prophecy. That means it got to be measured by the word. You ain't just blotting out something and we all going with it because it sounds good. Hallelujah. That's why if you're released to CSDC as a prophet, we're going to train you. You're going to know what it is. Amen. To measure it. You're going to know what it is to not just blot it out. Because sometimes there's a set time for it. Just because you bubbling up don't mean you speak. Amen. Because your spirit is subject to you. The Holy Ghost may be bubbling up, but you ought to know how to control your spirit. It says the spirit of the prophet is subject to the prophet. Amen. So you need to get it out. You write it. Hallelujah, Jesus. We're going to show you how to have some self-control. You write it if you need to get it out. Amen? Because the prophecy needs to be judged. But with righteousness, verse 4 says, shall he judge the poor and reprove with equity for the meek of the earth, and he shall smite the earth with the rod of his mouth, and with the breath of his lips shall he slay the wicked. Amen? So listen, the way you judge the poor and reprove, amen, is with meekness, amen. And how do you judge? With righteousness. You need the spirit of righteousness in you, that which is coming from the Christ, the Paracletos that he sent you. Not out of your flesh, not about what you heard, not about what everybody else is talking about. When I speak about John Gray's situation, it ain't about what other people are saying. The Holy Spirit revealed to me. Hallelujah. My God. The Holy Spirit must reveal it to you. And I ain't going to take it back either. I ain't taking it back. Hallelujah, Jesus. Because if you were sorry, you could have been sorry the first, second, third, fourth time, or fifth time you did it. It don't go on for years. Huh? My God. Mm-hmm. Where's the Holy Ghost in you? Where's the conviction? Who's working in you? Even the message is left in your voice. Sha-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-ba-sa. Laying hands and imparting the spirit of adultery in your sheep. Come on now. Shababababosando. You better be mindful. The blood of those that you minister to, their blood is acquired on your hands. You better believe it. Hallelujah. So, beloved, we see here that you're not judging, amen, after your flesh. You're not judging after your emotions. Because someone hurt you, you got to be able to put that emotion to the side. Okay, I'm hurting, I'm in pain, but I need to put this to the side, and I need to hear from God. Or I need to get in God's presence so he can heal me, that I don't bleed on you because I'm hurting. Amen? Amen, hallelujah. And that I get a word from God, that I know how to deal with this situation. And sometimes you can't deal with it quickly, because dealing with it quickly, you may deal with it wrongly. Did we get that, beloved?
Amen.
Get to know Isaiah 11. Get to know the provision of God in his Holy Spirit. And I love verse 3. And shall make him of quick understanding. The word is quick, and it makes you of quick understanding. Amen. You should not be a babe always. Hallelujah. In the fear of the Lord and the reverence of God. And he shall not judge after the sight of his eyes, neither reprove after the hearing of his ears. It's not just about what you hear and what you see out of your natural eyes. Listen, your spiritual senses must be exercised, but with righteousness. Amen. And equity for the meek. Did we get that?
Amen.
Amen, beloved. So if no one have any questions, we're going to move on. And we want to be mindful, and Lord, as you have spoken in your word, let it be unto us. Let us be mindful, my God, even how we rebuke, how we check, how we correct. Let us hear from you concerning all things, my God. If we have done anything before out of our flesh, Lord, forgive us.
Yes,
God. And we release ourselves from the spirit of offense in Jesus' name, amen. You will not hold me in offense, amen. Mm-hmm. Once I done got it right with God and I done said sorry to you, I take myself out of the spirit of offense. You can say mad all you want, but you're going to let me go. Hallelujah. Amen. You're going to let me go. You don't have the authority to hold me. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. So you yourself could be wrapped up and tied up in it. I told one of my spiritual daughters before I apologized to her, and I said, and I removed myself from the spirit of offense. And she came back to me, and she said, that was powerful right there, because I sure enough had you. I said, yeah, you're going to let me go. Hallelujah, Jesus. You're going to let me go. Amen. Y'all have to know this. Don't let people hold you in offense after you done did all that God has told you to do. Remove yourself. Hallelujah. Mm-hmm. Remove yourself. Amen.
Amen.
So now we're going to move on to exhort the flock. To exhort is to arouse the flock to spiritual duty and responsibility by proposing suitable and correct motives for behavior. Amen. So this is how you exhort the flock. It's to arouse them. Amen. It's a spiritual awakening. The flock to spiritual duty. That spiritual duty is to proclaim the gospel. Amen. Some of you have gifts and you're doing things for the church, and we thank you for your service. Amen. But the word of God says, make disciples of men. Discipline that they can live a life like Christ. You may not be teaching the church, but you can proclaim that gospel. That great commission was given to every believer. So we want you to develop to the point where you're going out being a witness and souls are coming in at your witness. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. First Timothy 4, as a matter of fact, I was at the Mercedes dealer today getting my brakes done. Hallelujah, Jesus. I got out of my vehicle, my automobile, my fine automobile. I got out of that automobile, dug down in my briefcase, pulled out my trash. When I walked into that room there, I said, look at all the souls, amen. And I pulled out my trash, and I went, and I stood in a face. And I said, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent, for the kingdom of God. Just went around the room, and there was a soldier in his soldier uniform with his head down and his eyes closed. And I said, sir, repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand, and gave him that smile. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm here trying to set you free. I got the word of eternal life. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And amen. And then there was a man, him and his wife, they left and they came back. And they said, he said, I was supposed to say something to you. Amen. And I didn't. Amen. And the Holy Spirit didn't let me go no further. There was something that I had to bring the car back for after leaving here. He said, keep doing what you're doing. He said, you showed me that there's still a remnant in the earth. Amen. That there's still a remnant in the earth. And they prayed for Bishop and I. Amen. And so I thank God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Because you ought to be on your job. Amen. You ought to be on your post. You ought to be on your duty. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. And that duty is to be a witness. Don't be sitting around all day doing nothing. You can stand in front of your own house and catch the people walking by. Amen. Just pull you out a chair or something, or choose a corner. Catch them coming by. Amen? Hallelujah.
Amen.
Tell the young guys, this ain't your corner no more. You go to the next corner. This is Jesus' corner. Amen? Hallelujah.
Amen. Amen.
Amen. Amen. When we was in Queens, amen, the drug dealers moved to the next corner. They moved to the next corner. We came with the word. They had respect for Jesus. They moved to the next corner when we came with the word. Amen.
Amen.
We beat them to the corner. We got there first. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. 1 Timothy 4:13. They came out too late. Jesus was already working. Amen.
Amen.
1 Timothy 4:13 says, give attendance, apply yourself to exhortation. You give attendance when the exhortation comes, when that which comes to arouse you as the flock to spiritual duty and responsibility, amen, and correct motives for behavior, you ought to give attendance to it. Amen. I can't make you give attendance to it. I'm going to do my part. You have to do your part. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
The ministry is challenged to motivate, encourage, and inspire the flock to do good work and a holy lifestyle. That's what we're looking for, holiness. Amen? That you would be disciplined to live a life like Christ. Be ye holy, for he is holy. Amen? And to do good works. And the good works that we do are the works that the Holy Spirit inspire us to do. Amen. And all the Holy Spirit wants to do is be a witness of Jesus Christ. That's why I wonder sometimes, what spirit you got? You don't tell nobody about Jesus? What spirit is that? Because the Holy Ghost, according to the word of God, he just want to be a witness. Amen.
Amen.
The ministry seeks to ignite a flame of zeal within the hearts of believers that motivates us to enthusiastic obedience. Amen. This is what the ministry seeks to do. We don't want to know you after the flesh. I've listened, especially those text messages for the church. Keep it with the church business. Amen. Keep it with the church business. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. Anything coming from the church, we're going to keep it. If it ain't Jesus, it shouldn't be there. Amen. Hallelujah. And so we want to be mindful of these things. We want to be mindful because we want those that are getting our messages to respect that we respect Christ. If we don't reverence him, those that are connected, how can they reverence them? Proselytes and everything get those text messages. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So it says here that the ministry is challenged to motivate, encourage, inspire the flock to do good works in a holy lifestyle. The ministry seeks to ignite a flame of zeal within the hearts of believers that motivates us to enthusiastic obedience. Amen. Do you feel enthusiastic? Do you feel like obeying the word of God? Because this is what it's about. We here to stir it up. Amen. Hallelujah. My God. The ministry endeavors to stir up the pure minds of the believers. 2 Peter 3:1 says, to awaken the church from spiritual sleep, to cause the saints to be zealously affected for good things and to be doers of the word and not hearers only. Amen. So we don't want you to just hear this word and not go out and obey the word. If the word of God says be a witness, you want to, obey it and be a witness. So let's go back. Let's pull up 2 Peter 3:1. It says the ministry endeavors to stir up the pure minds of the believers. Let's pull up 2 Peter 3:1 and see what that say. We want to see how the scripture is testifying. But in them we believe that we have eternal life. Amen?
Amen.
And they testify of Jesus. So you ain't got to take my word for it. Let's see what God says. Now, Peter's just writing letters. He said, dear friends, this is now my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. Did we get that? Isn't that what we just read? The ministry endeavors to stir up the pure minds of the believers. Amen. And Peter wrote these letters. This is an epistle. Amen. And he said, this is my second letter to you. I have written both of them as reminders to stimulate you to wholesome thinking. Amen? And so that's biblical, to awaken the church from spiritual sleep. And so the word of God is telling us here that the church can be asleep. Amen? Listen, we have to waken from our slumber.
Amen.
That's Romans 13:1. What does that, Romans 13:11. Romans 13:11 is what we want. What does that say?
And
Romans 13:11. Mm-hmm.
And that knowing the time that now is nigh, now is high time to awake out of sleep. For now is our salvation nearer than when we first believed.
Ooh, that's a powerful word right there. Now is the time to awake up from your slumber, your spiritual slumber, because our salvation is nearer now than when we first believed. Amen. May that stir you up, beloved. No man knows the hour or the day in which Jesus comes, but now has to be nearer than it was when you first believed. If you just believed on yesterday, now is nearer. Amen? Because he could come tonight. He could come right now. He could come anytime. And will you be ready? Will you be ready? Amen? So that's the line where you awaken from your spiritual slumber. Amen? And it says to cause the saints to be zealously affected for good things. Let's go to Galatians 4:18. Galatians 4:18. It says, it is fine to be zealous, provided the purpose is good, and to be so always, not just when I am with you. This is the Apostle Paul. I love it. He blow things up. Amen. Listen, don't just be zealous and want to be busy and do things because I'm present. Because Apostle Paul was not always present with all the churches. He wrote to the Corinthian church, the Roman church, Galatians. He wrote, I believe Hebrews is one of his books too. Amen. Apostle Paul did a lot of writing. Amen. Some of his letters he wrote from prison. But here he is present. And he said, it is fine to be zealous. Provide the purpose is good. Make sure that it's coming forth from the let it come forth from the essence of God, the essence of the Spirit in you. Make sure it aligns with what God is sending you to do according to the Holy Scriptures, and to be so always, not just when I am with you. So he's saying, don't be no hypocrite. Don't just get busy because I'm present. Amen? Don't just be running around acting like you've been doing something. Amen? He says, the zealousness that I see now, I want you to always have, even in my absence. When me and Bishop are absent, amen, the way you are served, amen, we want you all to serve with the same zealousness. Did we get that?
Amen.
Amen.
We want you to be a witness to the lost with the same zealousness. Amen?
Amen.
And to be doers of the word and not hearers only. James 1:22. What does that say? James 1:22. James 1:22.
But be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves.
The word of God is telling you that if you're just being hearers of the word and not doers of the word, that you deceive your own self. You ain't deceiving nobody else. You workers of iniquity, I know you not. Amen. Your faith must produce some fruit, some works. Amen. Faith without works is dead. Hallelujah. Did we get that?
Amen.
And the work of Jesus Christ was souls, proclaiming the gospel. Amen. So we want to see fruit. We want to see fruit. You believe? You got a witness? We want to see fruit. Amen. Hallelujah. So let us move on, beloved. I love these scriptures. The ministry affects us by the fervor, ardency, and passion with which they relate spiritual truths. This is why preaching is often exuberant and high-spirited. Amen? And so some people are high-spirited and some people aren't. Hallelujah. In exhortation, the ministry endeavors to transmit passion and enthusiasm for the things of God, to oversee and protect the flock. So some people say, does it take all of that? Yeah, it does sometimes. Sometimes it does take all of that. Sometimes the Holy Spirit is like that. Amen. To oversee and protect the flock, this is what leaders are to do. Acts 20:28. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. It says, take heed. Amen. Therefore, unto yourself and to all the flock over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers. So who set the leaders in place? The Holy Ghost. God has done this. Amen. And the word of God is saying here to take heed. The ministry protects, guards, and watches over the flock. The fivefold ministry. Amen. This is at those ascension gifts again. When you hear the ministry, it's speaking of the fivefold ministry. In every ministerial work, the fivefold ministry should be at place, or the whoever's in place should be able to discern the gift upon maturity of those that they are setting in place. Amen. That the fivefold ministry will be at work. So when you are breaking ground, amen, it's not like stepping into something that is already existing. These people have to be developed, and the shepherd will judge the giftings of those that are there and also weigh the character. Amen. Hallelujah. Because you can have a gift but may not never see promotion because your character is a mess. Amen. God deals with character.
Amen.
The fivefold ministry warns the church of potential dangers and spiritual pitfalls that await to trap and ensnare unwary Christians. Sometimes members of the flock view regulations and boundaries as infringements upon their personal freedom rather than protection from personal destruction. Amen. And I'm going to share this with you at CSCC. You're going out to another church, to another ministry. We want to know about it. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. The reason why we want to know is because we watch over your soul. If you are getting speaking engagements and people ask you to come out and speak, you may get a no. Hallelujah. You just may get a no. Amen. And if you can't be in submission to that no, you know, then, you know, you've got to go do you. Hallelujah, yes. Jesus. Because the word of God says submit to those that have rule over you. What I really want to know is, are you there because God sent you there? Amen. And so just recently, amen, there was a situation where I had to ask, someone was going somewhere, and I said, well, did God send you? Did you get a release? Amen. And the person asked me, are you telling me no, don't go? I said, no, that's not what I'm saying. Amen. You got to be able to hear from God. We want you to learn how to hear from God. Are you supposed to be there? We've learned that there's many places that the Apostle Paul wanted to go in Asia to proclaim the gospel, but the Holy Spirit forbid them. Every invitation is not an invitation that you take. Amen? If you man a post at CSDC, unless we have someone to fill that post, amen, 9 times out of 10, we do not release people to speaking engagements during the ongoing of our regular scheduled service. Amen? Your first responsibility is to CSDC. Did we get that?
Amen.
Hallelujah. And there's times you may come, Apostle, I'm going here. Amen. Is it all right? I want you to cover me. And that all right is not me giving you permission. It's called the release. It's called the release because I do check. I pull up things. I Google things. I want to hear the preaching and the teaching. Amen. There were some people that was on our prayer line, and I looked at their ministry. Amen. And I said to them, do you not know that that's a homosexual spirit preaching, that that's a spirit of divination that you're sitting up under, a spirit of perversion? Do you not know that?
Mm.
Holy Spirit don't move like that. When he clean you up, he clean you up. You ain't going to be flaming and moving your wrists and jumping and shaking more than me. You ain't going to be doing that.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so what does the word of God say? Sometimes they don't want to hear it. They take it as you coming up against them personally.
Mm-hmm.
This is why we have to be taught. This is in the word of God. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. So these warnings are given. Amen. For your protection, amen. The leaders are to protect you. But we are not that type of ministry that says that you can't go no place else. And we ain't no cult. Amen. Jesus ain't only here. Amen. For the body of Christ is all over the place. The body of Christ could be in Africa. The body of Christ could be in Asia. The body of Christ is on other corners of our own blocks. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we don't have no cultish behavior. Amen. There will be times when you do get a release. But if for some reason you don't get a release, we expect for you to be in submission to leadership. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Sometimes members of the flock view regulations and boundaries as infringement upon their personal freedoms and protection from personal destruction. Amen.
Amen.
Beloved, y'all, remember that we must learn to think of the sheepfold as a protection to keep out grievous wolves rather than as a stockade that hinders us from enjoying greener pastures, because sometimes it's just not green on the other side. Amen? Hallelujah. And we want to keep out the grievous wolves. We want to know who's coming in. We want to know who's speaking. And when you're set in positions, amen, hallelujah, as we do our due diligence, amen, we expect for you to do your due diligence in excellence. Amen. If you over service and if you say an apostle, this person is coming in to speak, amen, you're supposed to do your due diligence and know what you're supposed to know, because and then I'm entrusting you with that responsibility. Did we get that?
Amen.
Amen. God has put the watchman on the wall of your life to keep you from danger and harm. And Bishop and I, we are praying. Amen. Hallelujah. We are praying. We are fasting. We're seeking God. We're in the Word. Hallelujah, Jesus. And those of you that need deliverance, amen, if you hide what you need deliverance from, you cannot be delivered. Amen. You cannot be delivered from what you like. Did you get that?
Amen.
Amen. Ezekiel 3:17, Son of man, I have made thee a watchman into the houses of Israel. Therefore, hear the word at my mouth and give them warning from me. Listen, the leaders must have their ears to God's mouth. This is why I love that the Holy Spirit is sending in those of you with gifts, that some of the things that we did ourselves, that we can alleviate some of that responsibility, that it will give us more time with God. Amen?
Amen.
You don't want your leaders running around doing a whole bunch of stuff. You want your leaders on their knees. You want your leaders in the Word of God. You want your leaders with their ear to God's mouth and in His presence for an accurate, concise word. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. Because this thing comes from you being on your knees. We about to close out right after this. To feed the flock of God, this is what the ministry is for, to feed the flock of God. God has instructed the ministry to prepare well-balanced diet for the flock in order that it may be healthy and prosper. This diet that we're talking about is not physical food. The church want to come together, and after everything, they want to eat. You know what I'm saying? Oh, let's have a banquet. Let's do that. And there's nothing wrong with a banquet, and there's nothing wrong with that type of fellowship. But we want you to get used to eating the spiritual food. The spiritual food that we have for you is the bread of life. It's the sincere milk of the word. Amen. And it is the strong meat. Amen. We want to exercise your spiritual senses. We want you to be developed that your mind can be spiritualized. Amen. We want to speak to your spirit, so we pray that you're coming for the word. If you had an entertainment spirit, if you was in a place where there was entertainment, you have to shed all of that. Amen. Some of the people that come, I always tell them, you got to shed that spirit from where you came. Don't bring that stuff over here. Hallelujah. Don't bring it over here. That's why you let people sit when they first come. You let them sit that they can shed the ways of where they came, that they can really sit and get in tune with the word and the spirit of the house. Amen?
Amen.
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 So it says here, amen, hallelujah, in the kingdom, okay, to obey and submit to the ministry as unto the Lord. Hebrews 13:17 says, obey them that have rule over you and submit yourselves. In the kingdom of God, obedience is always a requirement. Amen. The Apostle Paul stated that obedience was a proof of the believer. Amen. Hallelujah. The Apostle Paul stated that obedience was a proof of the believer. Amen. If you can't be obedient, if a spirit of rebellion is working in you, I want to know if Christ really your Savior. Amen. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And so I once had a situation, amen, where I asked someone to come up and do something, and they just said no. I said, why? Is what I'm telling you not in the word? Am I asking you to sin? You know, no. Well, then get yourself on up here. You know, hallelujah. My God, obedience is better than sacrifice. Amen. We're the body. But people feel like that you impeding on their liberty. Amen. Mm-hmm. If you want to do what you do, if it's your prerogative, you can't do it here. You can't have your prerogative here. Hallelujah.
Amen.
2 Corinthians 2:9. For to this end also did I write that I might know the proof of you, whether ye be obedient in all things. Whether ye be obedient in, listen, this is 2 Corinthians 2:9. For to this end also did I write, that I may know the proof of you. Your obedience is the proof of you. You being able to obedient and submit to those that have rule over you, amen, is a test of whether you are in Christ or not. The believer has a duty to be a submitted follower of those who teach scriptural truths. Amen. It didn't say that they teach false doctrine. It said they teach scriptural truth. Did we get that? Hebrews 13:7 says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Amen. Bishop and I is not just giving you the word of God. Amen. We are praying for your souls. We taking out the time to teach you on Wednesday night. We praying and fasting when you cannot see us. Amen. Hallelujah. Jesus, we are putting in the work. Amen. Because it requires this type of work. My God. And the word of God says, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Amen. And Hebrews 13:7 confirms that refusing to obey and submit to our leaders is unprofitable to us. Amen. It brings serious consequences. Didn't we see that? Submit unto those that rule over you, for they pray for their soul. You don't want them to do it with grief, for that will be unprofitable to you. Amen?
Amen.
God knows all things. Amen. Romans 2:8, but unto them that are contentious and do not obey the truth, but obey unrighteousness, indignation, and wrath. That's Romans 2:8. If you ain't obeying one, you're obeying something else. Are you contentious? Amen? When there's no need to be. The bottom line is that some of you come with those spirits in you. Amen? They got to go. Hallelujah? Amen? Amen. Ephesians 5:6. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Amen? Hallelujah? Amen. Israel seen God's wrath many times, his army, that he commanded against them because of their disobedience. Amen. Don't think that God won't do the same to you. Amen. The church is instructed to willingly submit to the offices of ministry and to follow and obey their teaching, that they might escape the wrath which is to come. Amen. Now, beloved, when we come back, we're going to get on to endure correction and reproof. Amen. We'll start there, to endure correction and reproof. Amen. And so you want to submit unto the leaders. Now, if a leader is leading you into the flesh with fleshly things, you're not to obey that. We don't want, listen, we ain't stuck on stupid here, right? Listen, if someone is trying to have their way with you or lead you into sin, you're not to obey that. And you can come to me. You can come to me. Hallelujah. Don't go telling your business all around the church, because if it gets out, that's you telling your business. Amen. Amen. Bishop and I are good. You can come to me. I'm your pastor. Amen. You can come to me. And what happens with us stays with me. Amen. It stays Amen. With me. Hallelujah. And you have to be mindful. You have to be mindful, because things do go on. And if anyone that has been set in place is acting outside of the scope of the authority given to them by God, amen, you don't have to feel like you don't have no protection. I'm 5'1", but I'm strong in the spirit. My stature in the spirit is strong, amen?
Oh,
no. Amen. And we're not going to deal with no foolishness, none at all, amen? A little bit of leaven, the whole lump, before you know it, everybody's sick. We don't want everybody to be sick. It's our job to watch out for the sheep. We don't need sin working through the church. They pluck one, they pluck two, they pluck three. Amen? You got to be mindful, beloved. Amen? Amen. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you, my God, for this lesson that has come forth on tonight. Lord, we ask that, hallelujah, Jesus, my God. Lord, we ask, my God, that it illuminate the eyes of the understanding of those that hear it. My God, we ask for increased faith now through the word of God that has been taught, my God. Lord, I ask that you grace the hearers of it, oh God, with the grace to be obedient to it, to obey it, to move in it, my God. Lord, I thank you for the works, my God, hallelujah, Jesus, for faith without works, that means that faith is dead. Lord, let not their faith be dead, my God, in the name of Jesus. Let the provision of obedience and submission unto leaders, as it has been taught in your word today, my God, let that be their portion. In Jesus' name, my God, let your word be embedded in their heart. Let them be committed to your word, God, in all areas of their life, my God, in Jesus' name. And we give you glory and we give you praise and we give you honor. Receive the provision of the Lord in Jesus' name. Be not just hearers of the word, but be doers. Receive it. Excuse me. Receive it, receive it, receive it. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. So, beloved, we're going to move on in this portion of the service. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus, where you can share what it is that you receive from the word of God tonight. We want to encourage all CSDC to get on the line. We don't have many services, amen, but we do want you to partake in the study. Hallelujah, Jesus, because in the study you get to ask questions. Amen. In the Bible study, if there's not an understanding, amen, those questions can be asked and you can get an answer. Amen. Amen. For understanding. Amen. And it's just good to be in the midst of the fellowship, hallelujah, of the saints, because things are broken up under the power, amen, of the preached and taught word. Amen. And there's a refreshing that is going on. So that if you don't press your way to make the services, amen, because I don't waste my time. Hallelujah, Jesus. Amen. I tell Jesus, ain't nobody showed up what you want me to do. Hallelujah. Amen. Listen, when the well dry up, I go to another place. Hallelujah, Jesus. When the well dry up, when the well dried up for the prophet, he moved on. Hallelujah. Thank you, amen. Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. You got to get it. The rivers of living water is flowing. Get all that you can. Hallelujah.
Amen.
So we want you to be able to share what it is that you got from the lesson on tonight. We're going to start off with Minister Deborah Howell tonight.
Good evening, Saint. I just got
good evening, so woman of God.
I got so much, but the main ones that I want to share, is that the scripture for rebuke is for our correction, because we represent the Most High God. And so if we're out of line, we have to be corrected. We can't just run around doing the things that we want. We cannot just be out of order. So I got the rank, the protocol, and there has to be a spirit. We have to operate in the spirit of excellency because of who we represent. We are the ambassadors for Christ, and we're not only to be doers, but we are to be hearers as well, and to live it out. We just can't just, you know, our conduct does not reflect who we represent. And so another thing was the correction in our tithing. That does not belong to us. It belongs to God. And it is not a bill, but it belongs to God. And everything that he gives us is for us, is for our good, according to his word in Romans 8:28. And we know. So if it's the word says, and we know, then we ought to know that these things is not a trick. It's not to fool you, but it's to build up the body. That belongs to God. It belongs to God. It's no ifs, ands, or buts. I even round up. With whatever I get, I round it up just to make sure I don't cheat God, because everything belongs to God. Everything he created, so it belongs to God. And when we don't tithe, we're saying we don't trust you with the things that you promised us. That's what it said.
Amen.
It said we don't trust you to give you this money. You don't deserve it. And I like the fact that it's broken down for the new believer, because people think that the tithe and that money goes to buy the pastor's shoes and cars and stuff like that. So I like the education of what those tithes is for. I like that education, so it gives the new person, even the old person who's been there but refuses, you're saying that you do not believe and you do not trust God. So I like the definition, and it explains it as to what, because
the bottom line is that church has to be heated when you come in there, and like now it's cold. And so when we go there, we don't expect to sit in no cold sanctuary. So some of that money has to go to heat up the place.
Amen.
Okay? Lights have to be paid. We can't read the word in the dark. We are the light of the world, but we still need the physical light to see, to be able to read. So I like the definition and the breaking down of that, you know, in the discipline. It is what it is. That's the bottom line. We have to submit to the ones who have rule over us. That's the. It's no sugarcoating it. We have to. And then if we do have a disagreement, there is a way we can come together to address those who have rule over us. And the bottom line is we just can't do what we want to do. And when we do, we have to judge in righteousness, because the same way we judge people is going to be the same we're going to be judged. And you know, just like you said, we don't know the time nor the hour. That actor, I think his name is Luke Perry, he just died. So we ought to be ready. We ought to be ready at all costs. And like you said, when you and the bishop is not in our presence, we're still supposed to go on as if you're there. When we don't have a corporate prayer, we ought to pray on our own and just conduct like that, because this is for real. This is no game, no time to play. Well, we just, you know, we got to be prepared. This is some serious business. This is the Lord's business and our commission. We are to live it and not to, it's no time to play church. We are the church.
Amen.
And so those are some of the things that really, you know, and where we are as opposed to how you may behave, the children, the sons, and the bastards. When you first come, you might have that temper tantrum. But as you mature, and we call to mature, because if you look at your pictures now from 5 years ago, you'd be like, oh, I don't look like that. So in the same way, you don't look the same. You shouldn't be in that same position physically and mentally. You should be grown from where you were. You should be matured. And some, and you know, we have to take this serious. We have to be about our Father's business, and we have to represent him in a spirit of excellency. So those are some of the main things that I got out of this lesson. And also, when we say son of David, it came to me that comes from the lineage of David. When you say Jesus Christ, son of David, I used to say, why do they say he's the son of David? But it comes from that kingship. That the lineage comes from the lineage of David. So, you know, just those are some of the things that, you know, I had an epiphany tonight on.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
We are to operate in the spirit, in the spirit of excellency. That's pretty much it.
Amen. Amen. We thank the minister for her share on tonight. Amen. And she truly shared a lot, and it was heartfelt. Beloved, y'all have to go over your notes, get them in your spirit, the word of God in your spirit, and then obey them. Begin to walk out, you know, what it is that the Holy Spirit is showing you all on tonight. This is very important. Your very eternal life is at stake, you know, and that's important. You know, you can't pay for that. It's important that you adhere to what God has set in place for you. Amen. Sister Frances Brown, are you sharing tonight? Excuse me, Sister Frances. Mother Roberts, is that you on? Mother Roberts, are you on tonight? Sister Frances, are you sharing?
Yes, praise the Lord. There was a lot
said to us tonight, what sticks out the most to me is that we have to realize as children of God that this way of living for us, it's new in a sense. When we are born again, we, like you mentioned, we're like children. So we have to understand that we have to be taught the ways of God. And a lot of times, you know, as children, we like to do what we want to do and just do things our way. But God has to, he has to instill things of the kingdom inside of us. And we have to realize that our hearts are deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And
that's right.
We have to be corrected. So the rebuke and the correction is all necessary to teach us the ways of God. When I thought about the story about David, you know, it's something that when he committed the sin, when, once you get into sin, sin blinds you. And when Samuel came to him and told him the story, he didn't even realize it was him because he was blinded by the sin. A lot of times we're doing things in the house of God, or we're doing things out of our flesh or what we think and what we feel, and God has to come and correct us and teach us and show us his ways. And it's necessary in the house of God. And a lot of times we don't even realize that's what leadership is there for, is to groom us, is to nurture us, is to raise us up as like children in God's house. We have to mature, we have to grow. And a lot of times our flesh don't like that. It doesn't want to be corrected, you know, but it's necessary in the house of God in order for us to walk in the ways and the things of God. You know, we have to take heed to God's word. Another thing that stood out to me, too, when you were talking about us being as witnesses, you know, we have to realize, yes, we have to open up our mouth and tell the people, you know, about God. We have to tell the people about being saved. We have to live this life so that they can see the light of Christ on the inside of us. And the only way that light of Christ is going to shine is that we have to be taught. We have to be shown the ways of God. We have to be shaped. We have to be molded. And the scripture that came to me was Hebrews 12 and 11. It says, "Now no correction for the present seemed to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterwards, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." We have to realize that it doesn't feel good. You know, we're not going to like it because the flesh is enmity against God. But we have to learn to submit ourselves and take it in, because once we do that, it's going to yield the peaceable fruit of righteousness. That fruit is going to be inside of us that gives us that character of Christ to make us true children of God. So that's what I got out of it tonight.
Amen. Amen. And I thank God for that share with her concerning that transformation that is needed from being born of the Spirit and being children. But that in scripture to me was icing on cake. Amen, pertaining to it not feeling good, you know, because the carnal nature is enmity against God, and, you know, that carnal mind. But if you can obey it, if you can heed the warning, that it yields a peaceable fruit, amen. And so even when it doesn't feel good, if you allow the correction to do his work, or the word of God that you read day by day to correct you and do his work, that's how that fruit of the Spirit is going to be developed in you. Amen? And so, woman of God, can you share that scripture again? That scripture is Hebrews what?
It's Hebrews 12 and 11. And I just want to make the correction, Apostle, she brought it to my attention. It wasn't Samuel. It was Nathan, the prophet, that went to David.
Amen. Amen, amen. And woman of God, we thank you for your thoroughness and for making a correction. True teacher there, amen. Hallelujah. Look like we got a teaching gift amongst us. Amen. So Hebrews 12:11, y'all write down that scripture. Amen. Hallelujah. We want the gifts of those of you. We're hearing the gifts. We're paying attention. We want those gifts exercised. We want your character right. And we want you operating in what it is that God has given you. Amen. Minister Amen. Harris, I know that you're on tonight, woman of God. I want to hear what God has given you tonight.
I just praise God for just being able to be with you tonight. And you covered so much, but I thank God that God is imputing in you that we're no longer that people you're giving to the people of God that come to the line that is no longer to drink milk. You're putting meat on the
Amen.
Plate.
Mm-hmm.
Praise
Amen.
God. Because in these days and times, we need to grow up. And, you know, because the word says in Corinthians that when I was a child, I spake as a child and I understood as a child. You know, but then, you know, you had to put away those things. And so these are the times I just thank God for the anointing that he put in you to give to us. And that's a blessing to itself. And no long, sometimes it makes no difference how long that you've been in this way, that it's still another way. So I praise God because, you know, I'm still learning. I'm still learning, and I thank God for the word. I just really thank God for you and the word and what God is doing in your life to help us that come to the line to be even blessed, even the more, to be able to
Amen.
Deal with blessed and evil days. So I just thank God for the word.
Amen.
God be the glory. Amen. Amen. And we all are still learning. You know, I love how the minister shared that we're still learning and that it is need and that, you know, we're taking out the time or the Holy Spirit has graced us to take out the time that you can get it. Amen. And even to be able to give to you, we're being refreshed and we're learning and have to come into agreement with and obey. No one is exempt from the pulpit to the door. Are we subject to the word of God? The word of God has governed everything. From the pulpit to the door, are we subject to the word of God? Amen? Amen. There's someone else on the line, another caller. I'm not sure if I have your name, but would you like to share tonight? Amen. Beloved, what we're going to do is we're going to move on. We hope that you was blessed by the word tonight, and we invite you all to continue to come. Amen. At the end of this session pertaining to pastors and leaders, there is a homework assignment. Amen. And you're going to find that much more was given than what is in the handout. Amen. And y'all didn't get the handout, and I didn't give it for a specific reason. Amen. We want you to be able to take notes. We want you to be able to either take notes when you're in Sunday service, you know, because how else can you go back to and remember what was said, write down pertinent scriptures, amen. So that homework assignment will be given, amen, and we are praying that you have an understanding of what it is that you read and that you did take good notes, amen. Beloved, I'm going to release the line to Minister Jacqueline Harris, and even as she go forth and do the altar call, and to pray out, I want you all on the line to pay attention because one day it will be your turn to do the altar call. Amen. And we have to be ready, instant, in season and out. Amen. To be able to do the things that is needed. Amen. Know what it is to walk someone through the sinners of prayer or to proclaim the gospel to them because that's what the altar call is about, is a commissioning of those souls that are lost or backslidden, amen, that they would have the right to come or the opportunity to come back to God and repent, amen, and get it right with him. And so pay attention, get in the scripture, know what that is, amen. So Minister Jacqueline Harris, I release the line to you.
We thank you, Lord God, for just being together tonight that we might be fed by the word, Lord God. And we thank God for the person that brought forth the word. And we're coming in love tonight.
Hallelujah.
That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in thy heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Let now, Father God, is there one tonight that just want to fall under the word, because the word has been given to us tonight? Is there one that has been just broken down under the word? Because the word was given tonight, Lord God. Is there one, Father God, right now in the name of Jesus, is there one, Lord God, that want to give themselves back to God, make that commitment, that vow that you gave to him a long time ago, that it's all right because God is married to a backslider? Is there one tonight, right now, in the name of Jesus? Again, the word has gone forth tonight that it might trouble your heart and your mind, knowing that God is real. This wasn't man that was put out to us tonight. This was Jesus in the word of God. Nothing changing was shown to you. Is there one tonight that want to rededicate themselves to God tonight? Is there one? Father God, right now, in the name of Jesus, we thank you for everything that has gone forth tonight, right now, by the blood. Lord, we thank you for those that are on the line, Lord God, in the name of Jesus. Lord, right now, by the blood of Jesus, let the word have touched your heart and your mind and have saturated in your body, Lord God. Because one water, one planet, but only God can give the increase, Lord God. I thank you for the increase tonight, because I feel like there has been an increase, Lord God, right now, in the name of Jesus, to break up that stony heart, Lord God, and give it a heart of flesh right now, in the name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Lord, we praise your holy name tonight. We thank you for each and every one going to their homes, Lord God, because you know the need, you know the condition, Lord God, right now, in the name of Jesus. And I thank you, and I praise you right now. In the name of Jesus,
my God,
by the blood right now, in the name of Jesus, I thank you. Hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, right now, we thank you for the blood tonight. Oh, glory to the name of Jesus. It's, everything is going down, but the word, prophecy shall speak. Glory to God. Tongue shall speak. Oh, but the word of God is going to stand. Only the word is going to last. So I end with thee, Lord God. May the Lord watch.
May the Lord watch.
Between me and thee.
Between me and thee.
While we're absent.
While we're absent.
One from another. In Jesus' name.
One from another.
In Jesus' name. Agape love.
Agape love, beloved.